All right, if you can get your Bibles out tonight. Ephesians chapter number 5. Today I had the opportunity to do a bunch of driving around town today. Out of all the days. And man, there were a bunch of accidents, a bunch of people with their vehicle in places that those vehicles ought not to have been, and a lot of emergency equipment out, and it just, you got to be careful with that. And there was a guy in front of me, man, he was cutting in and out of stuff. And I know he had a four-wheel drive truck, but you don't have four-wheel drive brakes, and that's going to mess you up. But thankfully, I'm glad you're here tonight, and I know many were cautious and just not sure what the weather was going to be. My mom's dad, they live in Buffalo, and my sister got a call, or I forget how we got the information. I think it was over the weekend or this past week. I think it was over the weekend. A couple years ago, my grandfather at our family get-together kind of sat us all down. It was a Christmas time, and I think it was Christmas time, or maybe it was his birthday, two and a half years ago. And he sat us all down, and we were about to leave, and he's like, "I have something I need to tell you." And so we were sitting there, and he says, "I have a tumor in my brain." And he seemed fine. He seemed okay. And he goes, "And we have chosen not to operate on it. We're just going to leave it." Where he's at health-wise, it just wouldn't be wise. And there's a lot of variables with it. And it wasn't really doing anything at that point. Well, this past weekend, he had like a little mini stroke. Put him in the hospital. So we get the call that, hey, this is what happened to your grandfather. So my sister and I were talking, and we said, well, let's take this opportunity and go see him. And I honestly don't see my family in Buffalo much. So we went up Monday, I think it was Monday night. Drove up there not sure what you'd find, you know, after that kind of stuff. He's 80, I don't know, I think he's 88. And he's sitting in the hospital bed. They have the pillows propped behind him, but he's like, to me, it looks like you're uncomfortable. He's just leaning way too far forward. And I'm talking to him, and by now his eyesight is gone. Just about, he can't see well at all. So like from here to the candles, he wouldn't be able to see me. But when I got to his side, he recognized my voice, knew who I was, and we're talking. And he loves crosswords, so that's really hard for him to not be able to see. And he loves reading and watching TV, and he has to have the TV on like scream for him to hear. So my grandma got him these audiobooks. So now he listens to a whole book just about every day. He'll sit there and he just puts his little headphones in, and for 10 hours he listens to someone read him a story. It sounds like kindergarten, but that's fine. That's good. So there he is, so we're talking, and he's coherent. He's talking, or he's a little shaky. We're helping him with his coffee and his drink and ginger ale, and we're talking about just when we were kids to life, and he's asking about my kids, and we say goodbye and give hugs and kisses. We pray together. He's very, at this moment, very emotional, right? So, you know, he's asking about the kids. I'm telling him about baseball, and he just starts weeping, you know, he's just touched by everything, you know? And we pray together. I hold his hand. He's got both his hands around my hand, and he's crying while I'm praying. And so we leave, and my sister and I both say, honestly, if we never see him again, that was a nice visit. Well, the next day we get a call, and hey, your grandfather took a bad turn overnight, and he's not coherent. He's kind of not making any sense. He's not eating. It's probably a matter of time. And to which I said, man, I am so glad I took the opportunity when it was open. Because you never know. If you wait a day or two or something like that, but when God gives you an opportunity, sometimes, I know you got schedules, but sometimes when the Lord gives you opportunities, man, sometimes you got to take those. Say, how's your grandfather? Well, he bounced back. He's great. He's doing good now. He was eating mashed potatoes, and he's ready to go home. And they said that's the kind of stuff with that tumor, where there's going to be ups and downs, and eventually they're going to hit a down, and it doesn't come back up. But he bounced back, and praise the Lord, they're trying to figure out physical therapy and all of that. All that being said, it just made me think about opportunities. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 15. See then the verses that we are familiar with. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." A window of opportunity, number one, to be wise. Paying attention to what's around you. Paying attention to the opportunities that are around you. Using the opportunities that are there. You know, how many times have you said, you know what, I'll get to this, or I'll talk to them, or I'll do that, and you feel that little prick in your heart by the Holy Spirit of God of, hey, you should go do that. And you put it off, and that opportunity never came back around. Ever have one of those? And then you got that regret. Hey, we ought to be paying attention to the things that are around us. We ought to be wise concerning that, because there's somebody else looking for opportunity. Say, what is that? Go back just one chapter, maybe on the same page, Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 25. Why do I need to be wise? Why do I need to be paying attention? Well, Ephesians 4 and verse 25, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Hey, the devil's also looking for an opportunity. An opportunity. What? To mess you up. He says, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Hey, if I'm looking for opportunities to be wise, what should I be watching for? Well, I'm going to pay attention to my truth that I speak in verse 25. I'm going to pay attention to my temper in verse 26. Why? Because I don't want to give an opportunity to somebody else. The devil's looking for an opportunity. Why? Why does he know that anger and lying and stealing and that'll just mess you up? It'll help you miss opportunities for the Lord. He's looking for an opportunity to get you sideways. How about verse 29? "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." Hey, the devil knows that he can cause a lot of trouble if we're not wise with our words amongst one another. Ever say something you wish you could take back? Oh, what happened? He gave the devil opportunity. He gave the flesh a little opportunity. So what do we need? Well, pay attention to the windows of opportunity to be wise. I know what I want to say, but I'm not going to. I know what I'm feeling inside. I'm getting upset. I'm getting angry, but I'm not going to act on that. I'm going to speak in truth. Ever present maybe a circumstance or a situation, and it would have just been a lot easier to lie? Hey, think about that. Hey, think about it. The devil's looking for an opportunity. Look for the opportunity to do right. Be wise. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. It's 2 Corinthians. Hold on. 2 Corinthians. I've written first, but I'm sure it's 2. So how do you know? Because I looked up the verses. I wrote them down. Oh, yes. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And verse 1, window of opportunity. Look for opportunities to be wise. Number 2, look for opportunities to be bold. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 1, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Hey, there's going to be somebody, well, Mr. Seaman, maybe tomorrow throughout your travels, I know you're trying to get to sunny Florida, and I know you got family to see, but God may put somebody in your path for one purpose, for the gospel's sake. You know what? I'm just gonna hand him a track and hope for the best. I got to go. No, let's be bold in our witness. Let's look for opportunities as God brings us opportunities. I had someone ask me today, they say, do you believe in divine appointments? I said, oh yeah. I believe God works in people's lives, and he puts two people sitting on a bus together, and all of a sudden, there you are. You know, Sarah had a doctor's appointment this morning. And, you know, so I'm with her, and you walk in, there's no one in the office. Excuse me, sir, you've got to put a mask on. Oh, that just, like, you know, it just bothers me. I don't know why. There's nobody in the office. There's 30 chairs. So we sit down, and we're wearing our mask. And I'm all by myself. I'm reading my book. She's in the doctor's. So I take my mask off because I'm just sitting there. My glasses are steaming. I can't see, all that kind of stuff. Then I came across this good spot in my book, and I'm like, oh, I need a pen. So I go up to the lady at the counter, and I say, excuse me, ma'am, can I have a pen? She's like, you cannot be in this office without a mask on. Do I get the pen or not? Like, that's my question. And I said, I'm sorry. So I said, I'll make sure I'm wearing that. And she's like, here's the pen. I said, okay. So I'm reading my book, and I'm enjoying this, and the Lord's speaking to my heart. And then I bring my pen back and with my mask on, and she takes the pen, and, you know, they wipe it off, you know. And it's just all of it. You know what I'm saying? It's just all of it working together. I'm just like this. And Sarah comes out of the doctor's office, and she's like, how are you doing? I said, oh, yeah. And she goes, are you making friends? I said, oh, yeah, yeah. And oh, yeah. So we're standing there. And the ladies, we got our masks on, and we're talking to the lady through the glass, the lady behind the glass. And Sarah says, I love your hair. Lady about tears up. She says, what? She goes, I think your hair is so pretty. She goes, I was just talking to my husband this morning. And she says to Sarah, I was just telling him how ragged. She goes, oh, no. She goes, I love all the colors. I love how it all blends together. She goes, you're doing what I wish I could do. I'm looking at her. I mean, this is the masked Nazi. And you're making nice. She goes, you know what, all of a sudden, she says, I lost my brother. And with all the stress, I got a white streak in my hair. And Sarah's like, I think it's beautiful. Opportunity. Just an opportunity. I would have missed it. I was still perusing the bleaching of the Bic pen and the suffocation. And there Sarah is making opportunities of just sharing the love of Christ. Be wise. Be bold. Galatians chapter number 6. Be bold in sharing the gospel. Sarah and I could have turned around, hand walking out, and And she said, she could have said to me on her way out, wasn't that lady's hair nice? And I would have said, I don't even know what you're talking about. But for a moment, she had a little bit of boldness. Hey, when the Lord puts that stuff in your heart, you should say something. In Acts chapter 16, we'll not look there, but in Acts chapter 16, the Lord is working with Paul, and he opens up a door of opportunity. He says, hey, I want you to go to Macedonia. And they drop everything, and they go and they preach the gospel in Macedonia. Hey, when you have the gospel, we ought to be ready all the time to share the gospel. We ought to be looking for opportunities. My children, they love to shop at Aldi. Say why? Because they're looking for someone that left a cart with a quarter in it. And they become cart people. They're pushing carts. They're helping people. Why? Because they're looking for the opportunity to get a quarter. Are we looking at people like that? God, would you give me an opportunity for this with this person? Will you help me to be wise? Will you help me to be bold? Will you help me to be good? Look at Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Are we looking for those opportunities to do good? To not just do good, to be good. To do that good to somebody, to have that in you, to desire to help another. Is that in you? Do you look for those opportunities? Brother Rice stopped over and this afternoon, and he was sharing with us that when by the time he got back home from the hospital, there was a meal already there. What was that? Someone just doing good. I don't know who it was. I just appreciate it. That's what I'm talking about. Finding out, hearing about someone else's need, and just doing good unto all men. As much as you have, therefore, opportunity. I know you can't help everybody, but if you help somebody. Amen. Can you be good? Can you do good? Are you looking for those opportunities to be wise, to be bold, to be good? Say, I struggle with that. I think I let a lot of things go by that I don't see. How do we fix that? Ephesians chapter number 4 tonight. Ephesians 4. So we look to be wise, as we look to be bold, as we look to be good. In Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 30, following those verses that we just read just a few moments ago, it says this, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That's telling me that the Holy Spirit of God is trying to do something on the inside. He's speaking to you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. The question is, are we walking in the Spirit? Galatians chapter number 5 reminds us. It says this in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also, what? Walk in the Spirit. Hey, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. So I should be walking like that. One of the best ways to identify those windows of opportunity is to be spiritually minded, is to be walking in the Spirit. Yes? Hey, when you're walking in the flesh, you know what you care about? You. And that's it. When you're walking in the Spirit and know what you care about? Everybody else. It's not about you. It's about others. That only happens by the Holy Spirit of God, because naturally, the natural man is consumed with Numero uno, that's Spanish for number one, you. Spiritual preparation by walking in the Spirit. If we are looking for opportunities to be wise, then James chapter number one reminds us to pray for wisdom. Bible says this in James chapter number 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and it abradeth not, and it shall be given him. God, help me to be wise. Help me to pay attention to what is it? I don't want to get angry. I want to control my temper. I want to speak truth. I want to be kind. I want to be loving. I want to do good. Lord, help me with those things. That's what it says. If you lack wisdom, pray daily for wisdom. When was the last time you asked the Lord for wisdom? Well, I'm about to make a financial decision. How about souls? Lord, help me to be... He that winneth souls is wise, the Bible says. Are you even aware of the souls that are around you? Are you aware of their needs around you? To walk in the Spirit, pray daily for wisdom. Thirdly, and lastly, Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. The enemy of the Spirit is the flesh. And if I'm to walk in the Spirit, I'm going to have to start telling that flesh no once in a while. I'm going to have to yield myself to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, it's not like shouts of trumpets. It's still and small. It's that still small voice that God uses. In Matthew chapter number 6, as we prepare spiritually, number one, again, we walk in the Spirit. Number two, we pray daily for wisdom. But number three, we keep eternity in mind. Look at verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Again, we just said a moment ago, what is the greatest enemy to the Spirit? And it's our flesh. When we're not looking at others, who are we looking at? We're looking at ourselves. And he says, hey, would you stop worrying about this earth? Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. In January, in the city of Rochester, 200 cars have been stolen. Rick, is that about right? I think I saw that. Yeah. 201. Yeah, yeah, boom. Probably two tonight. Oh, it's cold. Maybe not. Man, you could spend your whole life working towards a vehicle, and then to come out the next day, and poof, gone. Be careful that you not get so earthly minded that you fail to pay attention to the things that really matter. What? Souls of men. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through, nor steal. Hey, do you know when you do right by God, and when you walk in the Spirit, and you pay attention to those opportunities and that God gives you, and you water, or you plant that seed, or you're investing in the souls of men, and being good, and doing good, and being bold, things get a credit on the other side. Hey, you might see some of those rewards here. You might see some of the benefits here, but I'm telling you, there's things on the other side waiting. A little while ago, I took Hudson with me to the bank, and they had one of those big old vaults. And I'm waiting in line, and he's just standing at that thing looking in there. I mean, it's those big, thick walls, you know, and it's got all the dials. And he's like, what is this? I'm like, that's the vault. And he's like, is that where they keep the money? You know, that's what he wants to know. I said, no. I said, those are safety deposit boxes. I said, see how there's two keys in there? And people put their most prized possessions in there. They pay for those things. And he's like, well, someone can just go in and take it. I said, no, there's two keys, and it's a thing. 2 points. Number one, If that's what all you're working towards, are those things in there, you know that's all going up. Number two, there's a vault on the other side that could be filled with treasures. And you're going to get up there and you're going to say, what on earth is all this? Hey, every time, had I known, I wish I would have done. Hey, don't get to heaven with regret. The time to be a witness is now. Verse 21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Isn't that so true? Show me where you spend your money. I'll tell you what you love. What do you put your money into? What do you spend your money on? Where do you spend your time? That's what you really love. Say, when those opportunities come, I want to be able to see those. See, so oftentimes those opportunities come by and we don't even see them. I saw a person today that didn't see the on-ramp. I'll tell you that. They missed it. They were facing the other way. Hey, isn't that our life? Man, I'm going this way, and the Lord has an opportunity, and I just missed it. Well, how did I miss it? Well, I wasn't walking in the Spirit. I probably wasn't praying daily for wisdom, and I'm pretty sure I was more consumed about what I wanted rather than the good of my fellow man. Lost sight of eternity. So what is the conclusion tonight? Make the call. Say the prayer. Mail the card. Send the text. Share the message. Show the love. Say why? Because you don't know when it'll happen. That opportunity will happen again. It might be that this is your one opportunity. Now the Lord is awfully gracious. He gives us multiple chances. But some things you only have one chance on. So be wise, be bold, and be good. Let's all stand. Maybe the Lord touched your heart about something tonight. Maybe tomorrow, make sure you write that thing down. Maybe even tonight, maybe you need to call a family member and say, hey, we haven't spoken in a while, and I don't know what tomorrow brings, and I want to use the opportunity today. Maybe there's a visit you need to go on tomorrow. Maybe there's a text you need to send. The Lord's touching your heart. Maybe there's a meal you need to make, a card you need to send. Hey, be wise with those. Pay attention to the needs of those around you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you again for getting us here safely. God, thank you for the opportunity to come out of the world for a little bit, fellowship with our brothers and sisters and you, and sing a little bit, reminding us that our life is to give you glory. God, thank you for that. Thank you for your word that kind of refocuses our thoughts and our mind. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see people how you see people. Lord, help us to see those opportunities that you lay before us. Lord, watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night. Drive careful.